Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in, and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio. It's Wednesday. It's 5 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. on the Central Side. We do a radio show with Darlene Sartori, who runs the Ideal Network. And Darlene, if you've been listening in, she's been a longtime customer and Building Fortunes Radio guest host with me on the station almost from the very, 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 very beginning. And recently, we've been focusing a lot on what Darlene calls the Chaplain's Course, and she's going to play something. We're not really sure how long it's going to last, so I'm going to keep my introduction as short as I can. But for those people that might be listening in, the platform that we're using for doing this recording is having some technical challenges, and they were nice enough to put up a little warning that says, hey, we're having some challenges. We're moving through it. So we're more than less likely going to be fine. But if the show ends abruptly, that means that they had to reset a server or doing whatever they're doing, and we'll be back next week. So we'll be here. And if you want to check this out again, if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to hear this and these other radio shows we've done with Darlene all over again. So, Darlene, I'm going to kind of step out of the way as fast as I can to give you the maximum time. And thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you, Peter. Well, we're going to do something this time. Instead of just listening to me, I'm going to play a recording. So this Building Fortunes radio show is being recorded today on Wednesday, November the 8th of 2023. And we're going to begin on page 172 at about the two-hour point in a YouTube recording of a book that John Tegan and I tested today. And we wanted to do a dynamic where we're going to be featuring various segments that we think are important. We're going to start with this one because of our concern about the education of children. And that's the reason we are creating the new Chaplain's Course to begin with. And so where we're going to start today is with the book that is Knowing, as written by Napoleon Hill, and he entitled it Outwitting the Devil, The Secret to Freedom and Success. And so we feel like that this area is not being covered in schools and homes in a way that we need to understand and comprehend why it's very important for us to understand and comprehend why we are not being successful, why we are not having the freedom and success that we normally could have if we were doing things in alignment with nature and nature's God. So I'm going to take and just turn this my phone around towards the speaker, and I'm going to start playing it, and we'll see how far that it goes. We're starting at 2 hours into the book.
Education that has given us a balance sheet with life that shows us hopelessly in the red and groping for the road to self-determination as if we were so many animals lost in the jungle. I want to know two things about the system. First, what's the major weakness of the system? Second, how can this weakness be eliminated? The floor is yours again. Please stick to the question and stop trying to decoy me into the discussion of deep abstract subjects. That's definite, is it not? You leave me no choice but that of direct answer. To begin with, the public school system approaches the subject of education from the wrong angle. The school system endeavors to teach children to memorize facts instead of teaching them how to use their own minds. Is that all that is wrong with the system? Oh, no, that is only the beginning. Another major weakness of the school system is that it does not establish in the minds of children either the importance of definiteness of purpose or make any attempt to teach youths how to be definite about anything. The major object of all schooling is to force the students to cram their memories with facts instead of teaching them how to organize and make practical use of facts. This cramming system centers the attention of students on the accumulation of credits, but overlooks the important question of how to use knowledge in the practical affairs of life. This system turns out graduates whose names are inscribed upon parchment certificates, but whose minds are empty of self-determination. The school system got off to a bad start at the beginning. The schools began as institutions of higher learning, operated entirely for the select few whose wealth and family entitled them to education. Thus, the entire school system was evolved by beginning at the top and working back down to the bottom. It is no wonder the system neglects to teach children the importance of definiteness of purpose when the system itself has literally evolved through indefiniteness. What would correct this weakness of the public school system? Let's not complain of the weakness of the system unless we are prepared to offer a practical remedy with which it can be corrected. In other words, while we are discussing the importance of definiteness of plan and purpose, let us take our own medicine and be definite. Why don't you lay off the schools and churches and save yourself plenty of trouble? Don't you know that you are poking your nose at the affairs of the two forces that control the world? Suppose you do show up the schools and the churches as being weak and inadequate for the needs of human beings. What then? With what are you going to replace these two institutions? Stop trying to evade my questions by the old trick of asking a counter question. I do not propose to replace the schools and churches, but I do propose to find out, if I can, how these organized forces can be modified so that they will serve people instead of keeping them in ignorance. Go ahead now and give me a detailed catalog of all the changes in the public school system which would improve it. So you want the entire catalog, do you? Do you want the suggested changes in the order of their importance? Describe the changes needed just as they come to you. You are forcing me to commit an act of treason against myself. But here it is. Reverse the present system by giving children the privilege of leading in their schoolwork instead of following orthodox rules designed only to impart abstract knowledge. Let instructors serve as students and let the students serve as instructors. As far as possible, organize all schoolwork into definite methods through which the student can learn by doing, and direct the classwork so that every student engages in some form of practical labor connected with the daily problems of life. Ideas are the beginning of all human achievement. Teach all students how to recognize practical ideas that may be of benefit in helping them acquire whatever they demand of life. Teach the students how to budget and use time. And above all, teach the truth that time is the greatest asset available to human beings and the cheapest. Teach the student the basic motives by which all people are influenced and show how to use these motives in acquiring the necessities and the luxuries of life. Teach children what to eat, how much to eat, and what is the relationship between proper eating and sound health. Teach children the true nature and function of the emotion of sex. And above all, teach them that it can be transmuted into a driving force capable of lifting one to great heights of achievement. Teach children to be definite in all things, beginning with the choice of a definite major purpose in life. Teach children the nature of and possibilities for good and evil and the principle of habit, using as illustrations with which to dramatize the subject the everyday experiences of children and adults. Teach children how habits become fixed through the laws of hypnotic rhythm and influence them to adopt, while in the lower grades, habits that will lead to independent thought. Teach children the difference between temporary defeat and failure, and show them how to search for the seed of an equivalent advantage which comes with every circumstance of defeat. Teach children to express their own thoughts fearlessly and to accept or reject at will all ideas of others, reserving to themselves always the privilege of relying upon their own judgment. Teach children to reach decisions promptly and to change them, if at all, slowly and with reluctance, and never without a definite reason. Teach children that the human brain is the instrument with which one receives from the great storehouse of nature the energy which is specialized into definite thoughts, that the brain does not think, but serves as an instrument for the interpretation of stimuli which cause thought. Teach children the value of harmony in their own minds, and that this is attainable only through self-control. Teach children the nature and the value of self-control. Teach children that there is a law of increasing returns which can be and should be put into operation as a matter of habit by rendering always more service and better service than is expected of them. Teach children the true nature of the golden rule, and above all, show them that through the operation of this principle, everything they do to and for another, they also do to and for themselves. Teach children not to have opinions unless they are formed from facts, or beliefs which may reasonably be accepted as facts. Teach children that cigarettes, liquor, narcotics, and overindulgence in sex destroy the power of will and lead to the habit of drifting. Do not forbid these evils, just explain them. Teach children the danger of believing anything merely because their parents, religious instructors, or someone else says it is so. Teach children to face facts, whether they are pleasant or unpleasant, without resorting to subterfuge or offering alibis. Teach children to encourage the use of their sixth sense, through which ideas present themselves in their minds from unknown sources, and to examine all such ideas carefully. Teach children the full import of the law of compensation as it was interpreted by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and show them how the law works in the small everyday affairs of life. Teach children that definiteness of purpose, backed by definite plans persistently and continuously applied, is the most efficacious form of prayer available to human beings. Teach children that the space they occupy in the world is measured definitely by the quality and quantity of useful service they render the world. Teach children there is no problem which does not have an appropriate solution, and that the solution often may be found in the circumstance creating the problem. Teach children that their only real limitations are those which they set up or permit others to establish in their own minds. Teach them that man can achieve whatever man can conceive and believe. Teach children that all schoolhouses and all textbooks are elementary implements which may be helpful in the development of their minds, but that the only school of real value is the great university of life, wherein one has the privilege of learning from experience. Teach children to be true to themselves at all times, and since they cannot please everybody, therefore to do a good job of pleasing themselves. That is an imposing list, but it seems conspicuous by the fact it ignores practically every subject now taught in the public schools. Was that intended? Yes. You asked for a list of suggested changes in public school curricula which would benefit children. Well, that is what you got. Some of the changes you suggest are so unorthodox, they would shock most of the educators of today, wouldn't they? Most of the educators of today need to be shocked. A good, sound shock often helps the brain that has been atrophied by habit. Would the changes you suggest for the public schools give children immunity against the habit of drifting? Yes, that is one of the results the changes would bring, but there are others, too. How could the suggested changes be forced into the public school system? You know, of course, it is as difficult to get a new idea into an educator's brain as it is to interest a religious leader in modifying religion so it will help people to get more from life. The quickest and surest way to force practical ideas into the public schools is to first introduce the ideas through private schools and establish such a demand for their use that public school officials will be compelled to employ them. Should any other changes be made in the public school system? Yes, many. Among other changes needed in all public school programs is the addition of a complete course of training in the psychology of harmonious negotiation between people. All children should be taught how to sell their way through life with the minimum amount of friction. Every public school should teach the principles of individual achievement through which one may attain to a position of financial independence. Classes should be abolished altogether. They should be replaced by the round table or conference system, such as businessmen employ. All students should receive individual instruction and guidance in connection with subjects which cannot be properly taught in groups. Every school should have an auxiliary group of instructors consisting of business and professional people, scientists, artists, engineers, and newspapermen, each of whom would impart to all the students a practical working knowledge of his own profession, business, or occupation. This instruction should be conducted through the conference system to save the time of the instructors. What you have suggested is, in effect, an auxiliary system of instruction that would give all school children a working knowledge of the practical affairs of life, direct from the original source. Is that the idea? You've stated it correctly. Let us dismiss the public school system and go back to the churches for a moment. All my life, I've heard clergymen preaching against sin and warning sinners to beware and repent so they could be saved. But I've never heard any of them tell me what sin is. Will you give me some light on this subject? Sin is anything one does or thinks which causes one to be unhappy. Human beings who are in sound physical and spiritual health should be at peace with themselves and always happy. Any form of mental or physical misery indicates the presence of sin. Name some of the common forms of sin. It is a sin to overeat because that leads to ill health and misery. It is a sin to overindulge in sex because that breaks down one's willpower and leads to the habit of drifting. It is a sin to permit one's mind to be dominated by negative thoughts of envy, greed, fear, hatred, intolerance, vanity, self-pity, or discouragement, because these states of mind lead to the habit of drifting. It is a sin to cheat, lie, and steal, because these habits destroy self-respect, subdue one's conscience, and lead to unhappiness. It is a sin to remain in ignorance, because that leads to poverty and loss of self-reliance. It is a sin to accept from life anything one does not want, because that indicates an unpardonable neglect to use the mind. Is it a sin for one to drift through life without definite aim, plan, or purpose? Yes, because this habit leads to poverty and destroys the privilege of self-determination. It also deprives one of the privilege of using his own mind as a medium of contact with infinite intelligence. Are you the chief inspirer of sin? Yes. It is my business to gain control of the minds of people in every way possible. Can you control the mind of a person who commits no sin? I cannot, because that person never permits his mind to be dominated by any form of negative thought. I cannot enter the mind of one who never sins, let alone control it. What is the commonest and most destructive of all sins? Fear and ignorance. Have you nothing else to add to the list? There is nothing else to be added. But what is faith? It is a state of mind wherein one recognizes and uses the power of positive thought as a medium by which one contacts and draws upon the universal store of infinite intelligence at will. In other words, faith is the absence of all forms of negative thought. Is that the idea? Yes, that is another way of describing it. Has a drifter the capacity to use faith? He may have the capacity, but he does not use it. Everyone has the potential power to clear his mind of all negative thoughts and thereby avail himself of the power of faith. Stating the matter in another way, faith is definiteness of purpose backed by belief in the attainment of the object of that purpose. Is that correct? That's the idea exactly. What preparation must one undergo?
Let's see if I can end that. That is goes to page 184. So we went from 172 to page 184 in Outwitting the Devil. This is a book that we chose for beginning the chaplain's course because we needed a qualifier that we could use to correct the problems that we're dealing with on our planet by looking at it in a whole life endeavor. And as we began selecting where was the problems that we really seen and what was the root cause of the problem? Because we must work at the level of causation to correct any problem. So after going through a lot of different books and ideas and et cetera, this was the one that my grandchildren one day came in while I was doing work on this book. Listening to the recording that was being made and making sure that it was kind of following the text of the actual book. And since then, that has been a real help for these two grandchildren that were listening to it. And I think I've mentioned this in the past, that, of course, one of those grandchildren is now a Marine. And very proud to be a Marine. And he wouldn't have done that had he not gotten the idea from this clarity of having a definiteness of purpose. What do you desire to do with your life? And he encountered in school those people who were able to guide him through looking at the various different options that would help him to go from high school to college or whatever. And he found out that the military would probably provide with him everything that he needed. And so he had a definiteness of purpose to find out which branch then should he choose. And so this is the type of mentality that a child needs as they grow up to be able to look at things and ask the right questions, start searching and making a decision as to where are they supposed to be in their learning. What are they supposed to be doing to be a success in the planet? What can they do to make a difference? And where can I get that education and skill? And so this is why when they came in and heard this book being played, it got their attention. And he credits this book as being the way that took him from being a confused young gentleman to being a person of real purpose. And so it works, and children often will give us the clues if we will allow them to acknowledge and be a part of their self-determination. What is it that I need in order to be successful? So, Peter, what did you think about that segment? Did it help us to make some start? Is to qualify what we're going to do with the chaplain's course is to be very reality-based and address the system that we're dealing with in any place that we find that it needs correcting, that we then join together in making those corrections, which we think is what the chaplain's job actually is.
It does. The challenges I have sometimes, like when you play this, it hits me in the middle of the day, and like, you know, you're busy doing stuff, and then all of a sudden you hit with something heavy duty, and you're like, wow, I really have to concentrate on this. Like, I have to change gears to be able to listen to this all over again. So the purpose of the chaplain's course is, if this was being taught all the time, it would be part of my mindset more or less all the time. So I wouldn't have to stop and switch gears. I'd be in that mindset already. So I don't know if that makes any sense. It's kind of like, you know, if you knew a foreign language a long time ago, and then all of a sudden someone throws you some thing in that foreign language, and you're like, oh, geez, no, I know this, but like I hadn't spoken French in a long time, so I'm a little rusty here. So that's what I find when I listen to this stuff, is like, okay, this is good. I realize that I need to focus on this. I probably am, because of the habits that I've formed already, but now this is at a totally different level. Like, you know, now they're real, you know, kind of getting real serious about it. So I got to switch and get myself back into that mindset. So all good stuff, all the stuff that, unfortunately, if you're looking at the world around you, it is like a foreign language. Like, these people don't know what it is. Might as well be speaking it in Chinese or any other language that people aren't familiar with. So that's my little bit of feedback right there. So it has to be listened to over and over and over again. Got to get into the right mindset.
Awesome. Well, this is what the purpose of these segments that I do is, to kind of get people to stop and think for a moment and say, wow, you know, I hadn't really thought about these dynamics, but these are things that are intended, because they're recorded, is for us to be able to listen to them over and over again. And this is an area that I find that so many people have a challenge with. And like you said, shifting gears sometimes in the middle of a day would be wonderful, to be able to just click on this and hear it and say, wow, I hadn't really thought about, there's really is solutions to our education and our schooling system. And maybe this is the root cause of why we're having the problems we're having in the planet, is because our education for our children are not raising them with real life scenarios. And so the things that was given here, there are in the book, when I numbered them in my side of my margin of my book, and they were actually, I think, 29 points that were that he used, that started with teach the children. And so this is the dynamic of comprehending. We're not paying attention to what we really need to pay attention to is the root cause of why our children are failing at life, why we have the drug addictions, why we have alcoholism, why do we have so much crime, and how much this hate that's going on our planet right now. We need this very, very, very much to have a time in the middle of our day where we actually do stop and think of something seriously. So I do try to offer some heavy-duty stuff occasionally about real life and give some solutions. So hopefully people will start to realize a little bit of why this chaplain's course is going to be a real big boom to our communities, is to have this available to individuals to learn how to be a chaplain in whatever area they are called to be a chaplain in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the types of chaplains in the future, because this is an area that we feel like is being strongly neglected right now, because we do not have chaplains in the schools. We do not have chaplains in most of the parts of our community, in the workforce. About the only place that we have a true chaplain course is in the hospitals and recovery centers. So we need, of course, focus on getting those into every one of those areas, but we also have to focus on getting them where we actually need them, in the schools. So when a child has a challenge, a student has a challenge, they know to go to the chaplain with it and be able to address the needs that that individual needs. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can contact me through my phone, 812-664-7419. Again, 812-664-7419. So if you want to know how to participate with the chaplain's course, you can, of course, let us know by giving me a call or sending me an email at idealdynamics@gmail.com. idealdynamics@gmail.com, so that we can keep in touch. And if you have some information that you'd like to see put into the chaplain's course, or you have a book that you think would be awesome to be put into that course, then we'll go forward with it in looking at that, because this is a comparative study course. This is a chaplains that will be working in all areas of our community, in all areas of our home, in our businesses, and et cetera. So participate, be a part of it. If you have something you want to add, you're welcome to it. Back to you, Peter.
Excellent. Okay, good. So great information as usual. If you want to hear this again, you go back to buildingforgesradio.com/ideal or Ideal Network. You'll be able to hear this again, and then you can get your own versions of this stuff. I know this is readily available, so you can practice it in your own home or your business or whatever you might be working on, and share with other people as well. So good stuff, Darlene. As usual, we will catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to hear this again. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, "I live the ideal life," where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.